And because you are submissive, your spiritual masters have endowed you with all the favors bestowed upon a gentle disciple. Therefore, you can tell us all that you have scientifically learned from them. Purport. The secret of success in spiritual life is in satisfying the spiritual master and thereby getting his sincere blessings. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has sung in his famous 8 stanzas on the spiritual master as follows. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Only by his satisfaction can one please the personality of Godhead. When he is dissatisfied, there's only havoc on the path of spiritual realization. It is essential, therefore, that a disciple be very much obedient and submissive to the spiritual, to the bona fide spiritual master. Srila Sudha Goswami fulfilled all these qualifications as a disciple, and therefore he was endowed with all favors by his learned and self-realized spiritual masters, such as Srila Vyasadeva and others. The sages of Naimisharanya were confident that Srila Sudha Goswami was bona fide. Therefore, they were anxious to hear from him. Ihr hört in 2 Sprachen. Translation. And because you are submissive, your spiritual masters have endowed you with all the favors bestowed upon a gentle disciple. Therefore, you can tell us all that you have scientifically learned from them. In this verse, the saints or sages of the forest of Naimisharanya address the learned speaker Sudha Goswami. You can just imagine the scene. Beautiful tall trees, a very pleasant sattvic atmosphere in the forest, the sounds of birds chirping, and all these saints and sadhus sitting there wanting to hear about the transcendental subject matter. Now, before Sudha Goswami, whom they have all asked to speak, starts, they all encourage him. Yes, speak. Yes, tell us all you have heard from your, that you have scientifically learned from your spiritual masters. The word scientifically learned is quite interesting. It means you have heard from your spiritual masters, and after you have heard from them, you have realized what they have told you. Therefore, we are now very interested to hear from you. Book knowledge is not as interesting as realized knowledge is, because realized knowledge has the specific quality that it can penetrate the heart and move our consciousness. So therefore, the Vedic tradition tells us that we must learn from realized souls, hear from them, and in this way experience the transformation in our heart and in our consciousness. Let us leave for a moment, let us stay for a moment, sorry, with this beautiful scene, full a room, not a room, a full forest full of devotees of Lord Krishna who were very eager to hear. It is described that when there is an eagerness to hear and the speaker is qualified, then in such an assembly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes manifest. It is, this, Krishna himself describes where he can be found. He says, I cannot be found in the spiritual world so easily, nor am I in the hearts of the yogis, mystics. I am where my devotees hear and chant about me. So this was taking place in the ancient time, and Suta Goswami, the learned speaker, did a wonderful work. He took his audience by his realized knowledge into deeper and deeper subjects. Yes, his words became the immortal teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the essential work in this age of Kali, for getting Krishna consciousness. What is very interesting here is to see that the Suta Goswami is requested to talk about all that he has heard from his many gurus. Now, at this moment, we become a little bit alert, and we become conscious. What? I thought one should only hear from one guru. Here in this verse, the word gurave is used, which means the spiritual masters, in the plural number. Yes, our tradition does not say that we only hear from one spiritual master, but it makes the emphasis that we hear from many spiritual masters. Because, as we are hearing later in the Bhagavatam, the absolute truth is just so wonderful and so great that the realizations of many souls who approach it from different perspectives are very essential for us to make advancement in our spiritual lives. So from this scene, I would like to take all of you to the present, through the history, and describe a little bit of our glorious spiritual tradition and our glorious spiritual masters, who can all, if we learn to contact them, and benefit us and empower us on our spiritual path. I feel what I have to say will be very inspiring for you, and although it is the second day or third day even of our festival, and you are most probably exhausted, and it is a little bit cold outside, and some of you are sniffing and sneezing and making the noise of the body. Thank you. I definitely feel that the subjects we will now go into are so wonderful that we can give the best of our attention one more time. At 12 o'clock I will say the same thing. Hare Krishna. So, this, let us hear about our many spiritual masters and how they can benefit us. We hear that there is a line of spiritual masters which goes over the great Madhvacharya to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who actually is the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for this age of Kali. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a very simple message for the people of this age. Chant the holy name, develop your faith, and surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you chant the holy name without faith, And without surrender to Krishna, the holy name will not take you very far. But if you develop a strong amount of faith in Krishna and surrender to him by the sixfold processes of bhakti yoga, who the holy name can take you to a level which is called technically Shuddhanam. I know now the book, The Nectarian Ocean of the Holy Name, is out in English, and you can learn all these philosophical concepts. And on the level of Shuddhanam, the name becomes Krishna directly. Then the devotee starts and does not have so much faith and not so much surrender like some of us. Then the holy name will not reveal himself so much. But if there is faith and surrender, this is the teachings of Mahaprabhu in a very simplified form, then the holy name will be Shuddhanam, and it is possible for the chanter to realize Krishna in the form of his holy name, Namaruchi. This is the possibility of the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is a very merciful incarnation of God because he made it so simple. He brought the Lord in the form of his holy name and told us how we can reach him. Now, from this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made a wonderful prediction. He said that in times to come, this holy name which he had brought would be spread all over the world. This prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had come as the Yuga Avatar, that means the incarnation of God for that specific time, universal time, was very perplexing for a long time for the Vaishnav community. What, they thought, the name of the Lord, who is the Lord himself, should be spread all over the world? How is this possible? People are so far away from spiritual life, especially in the Western countries. So to help this, the servants of the servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made many, let me say, interesting spiritual adventures, you can almost say. Jiva Goswami, for instance, founded an organization through which he wanted to spread the chanting of the holy name all over the world. He called this universe, this organization, Vishwa Vaishnav Raja Sabha. Vishwa means universe, and Vaishnav means devotees of the Lord, and Raja Sabha means the society of kings. In other words, he made a alliance club, you can almost say, or king's club. But these words are sound, anyone, king's, these are all very bad words. It was used in the in the Kali Yuga society for things which are not very nice. Let me tell it therefore directly. He assembled all the great devotees of the times together to make an organization or institution. Let us work together to somehow fulfill the prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this society, there were great souls like Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. And this society became a society almost of a transcendental nature, because when these great souls left the planet, the society continued onwards. The Vishwa Vaishnav Raja Sabha is still in existence. They are the great souls of the past who, with their teachings, are accessible, or who have teachings left for us behind. Now, let us jump a little bit ahead and come to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is often described to be the pioneer of Krishna consciousness. The society of Jiva Goswami had come into the unmanifest state because all the great persons in the society had left the planet. It was in an unmanifested form, therefore. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur thought, how can we have another organization which does spread Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's will and movement? Bhaktivinoda Thakur was thinking with tears in his eyes about the times of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had appeared, he had performed his kirtans, and because it was known that in this kirtan a transcendental event took place, ein transzendentales Ereignis, many, many people had come to these kirtans. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and chanted, there were millions of people who came, and they did not chant and dance for only a few hours. They chanted sometimes for 3 days without interruption. And in this chanting, now you might think, well, this is very, I couldn't do it. Die Säulenheiligen amongst us, that means the devotees who don't feel to dance spontaneously, they might think, this is impossible for... No, it is possible. When the kirtans were going on, the atmosphere became surcharged with love of Godhead. Now, one drop of that ocean of love of Godhead is enough to make the whole world ecstatic. And when the people were dancing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, millions of people just became totally transcendental became totally advanced in love of Godhead. These kirtans were not just music, they were coming in contact with the divine Shakti of the Lord. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was thinking, how can we do this again? I mean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left the planet, but he said in every village it would go on. And he was really taxing his brain and finally had an answer. It is the Namhatta program. Namhatta, most of you know, but we have guests who are also not so familiar, nicht so vertraut with these words. I will explain just in one sentence. Namhatta is an interesting network, a Netzwerk, through which Krishna consciousness is spread, but at the same time, through which Krishna consciousness is maintained in the people. It's a program where people come together in the villages, they chant the holy name, they cook and offer food and distribute it, and they read from the scriptures, and they help each other in spiritual life, and they advance. And it spreads like a network. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time, all of Bengal was covered with a net of Namhatta centers, and becoming once again very Krishna conscious. So then, let's jump a little ahead. His son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, spread Krishna consciousness on a large scale initiated Srila Prabhupada, our Srila Prabhupada, into the mantras, guided him in his spiritual life. Now Srila Prabhupada, in the beginning stage of his work, was a grihastha, and he was sitting once, and he did work, he maintained a family and he raised a family, but he also wanted to support the preaching mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And like many people who are working in the world, also in our movement, he thought, I can best serve this great mission of the Lord by supplying a room in which people can chant and in which they can hear about Krishna consciousness. So he rented a flat in Calcutta, and his godbrothers came and preached there. He did not preach very often. He preached here and there and so on, but he was a house father. working as an apotheker, a pharmacist. Now, one day, something very important happened. One of the sannyasis was preaching in the rented flat, and after this lecture, he said, he talked with Srila Prabhupada, who was then known as Abhay, and he said, I have a question. Both of them sat down to discuss this question. My question is, do you think that Lord Chaitanya's prophecy that the spreading of Krishna consciousness is actually possible? He had a doubt. I can't imagine how people will take to Krishna consciousness on a large scale. And when Prabhupada heard this, he felt very moved. And he said, yes, I have faith. One fool will do it. It was when he was not yet in the grand scale, let me say, when he did not yet have this vision, of an international society, a great risky adventure to spread Krishna consciousness with fallen people from the West. One fool will do it, he said. So later this God brother became aware that Srila Prabhupada had taken sannyas and then went to the West and founded the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and he remembered how he had discussed and how Prabhupada had said, yes, I know it can be done. But he didn't say, I will do it, but he said, one fool will do it. With this, we can learn that Srila Prabhupada is actually a very special personality. Why? Because he has done something which was attempted by our great Sampradaya and the great devotees of Krishna to spread Krishna consciousness to many foreign people. It was attempted, but Srila Prabhupada brought this attempt to a stage which was previously inconceivable. He brought it to all of you, so that you can follow Krishna consciousness at this time. Srila Prabhupada's achievements, and here I will quote a very dear God brother of mine, we can look at three points, three achievements. First of all, he has made a society of devotees. Second, I might be a little temperamental and might use the space for, I'm sorry, I hope I have not broken the neck of your wonderful tape recorder. He has made a society of devotees. He has translated the original books from English into, from Sanskrit into English, and he has transformed the hearts of people who became devotees. Let me first speak about his organization and about the other things. Srila Prabhupada's society, which he called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, has seven purposes. And I would like to read three of them to you, because it is described the human brain can remember three points, but seventh is impossible. The first purpose of the society which Prabhupada made is to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large and to educate all peoples in the teachings of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values in life and to achieve real unity and peace in the world. You can see this lofty concept. He wants to achieve unity and peace in the world by spreading spiritual knowledge. Another purpose, and then it comes how he wants to do it. He wants to this is the fourth point, to teach and encourage the Sankirtan movement, the congregational chanting of the holy name of God as revealed in the teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was in a little Indian town where Prabhupada sat in a little room and wrote down the purposes of his society which he wanted to make. He wanted to spread the holy name all over the world, and so on. And then he had a vision for us, the devotees. He didn't want just external people in this society. He wanted to have deep people. He said he wanted to bring the members closer together. He wanted that there is love and friendship amongst the members for the purpose of teaching a simple and more natural way of life. All you nature lovers, I think this is encouraging. Prabhupada wanted the society to be simple. He wanted that they are natural people. Simple and more natural way of life. And he wanted that they are close. They can go through thick and thin. Sie können durch dick und dünn gehen, sozusagen. This is some of his visions for society. Can I summarize for you? He wanted to spread a society which spreads the spiritual teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. He wanted that this society spreads the holy name of the Lord. And he wanted that the members of the society come closer to each other and that they live a simple and more natural way of life. Hare Krishna. This is what I want to say about his first achievement, the society. The second point is about books. I was engaged by Srila Prabhupada in the beginning of my spiritual life in translating some of his books. And at one stage we had a problem in our translation, a problem which all translators face. How can you put something which was spoken in another language with all its nuances and subtle forms into a totally different language? In this process of taking it from English to German, always something will go. It will be not possible to just translate it in its entirety. It's very difficult to translate. Prabhupada had the same difficulty in translating the Sanskrit language into the English. So we asked him at one stage, what should we do? I mean, can we change something? And Prabhupada had told one of his editors who answered this letter for us, no, please do not change anything. These purports are my personal ecstasies, he said. They're his personal ecstasies. There's something from his heart, something from his realization, which has flown into this, and he's fully there in the books because they are his ecstasies. Ecstasy is something very private. In the world between husband and wife, some very movable feelings are there, called excitement. But between the devotee and the Lord, there appear what is called ecstasies in their common, their very confidential relationship. And he said, these are my personal ecstasy. It's private. I feel very strongly for this. Please leave it like this. And he said, yes, we try as much as possible. And I think we did not always do a very good job because we were so young and so inexperienced in spiritual life. And so on. So his books, it's a major achievement, and it is translated all over the world. I remember how my appreciation for Srila Prabhupada's books grew a little while ago when we were with a few devotees in the Gita Mandir of Udupi. There's a wonderful building. It looks like a I mean, a very beautiful building, and you can enter one room, and there the whole Bhagavad Gita is in the, it is in marble. It's a marble room, so to say, and it has very high walls, and it has these panels, also diese, wie sagt man das in Deutsch, diese Schaukästen oder so, Schautafeln würde man sagen, Marmor-Schautafeln. Eine Marmor-Schautafel has one chapter of the Gita. And when you go in this room, you feel electrified with the teachings of Krishna. And then you go out of the room, and you go to another room where they have all the Gitas which were translated into the different languages of the world. And that table is full with Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gitas. Because he had created an organization, the BBT, his publishing arm of his society, which has translated in Russian and Kazakhstan and Afghanistan, German of all languages, and so on and so forth. It is the table is bending down. Maybe we have to give them a new table so that it will not break down one day. With the Bhagavad Gita of Prabhupada, it's a very special thing. The next thing which Prabhupada has made is he has made devotees. Now he often commented that to make one person a devotee meant for him sweating gallons of blood. Because there is a nice Indian proverb, to change a person's character is more difficult than to move the Himalayan mountains. It's not easy, because there is a lot in us which is what we call old sanskaras, old impressions. But Srila Prabhupada managed, like a touchstone which can transform iron into gold, he managed to transform many people and make them devotees of the Lord. This is something very special, which we want to mention. Now, this is Prabhupada's greatness, and this is Prabhupada's glory. He has done something which previously was not even conceivable, and therefore we can say his achievements are unique, and they will remain unique, because what is done is done. And he, and the person who has done it, he will always have that position to have done this. He has made a society, he has translated the original Vedic scriptures into the English language. He didn't want to bring his own society or his own version of the truth. He has translated what is there since thousands of years. And he has also created living examples. That means devotees whose heart he had to transform and still needs to transform. Srila Prabhupada is special, therefore, and he has been, like you can imagine, prophesied in the Vedic scriptures. There is one book from the times of just after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Chaitanya Mangala. There you find the great saint Narada Muni visiting the spiritual world. And there, in the spiritual world, he saw Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was surrounded by many devotees, and he told him, Narada Muni, "My dear Narada Muni, I will come in the age of Kali, in the most heaviest age, and I will destroy the sinful activities." He said, "I'll cut the hard knots of demoniac desires from the hearts of everyone. Even if the sinners reject religion or flee to foreign countries, still they will get my mercy." Some of you might have been there in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, and you were so sinful that you were taking your birth in Macedonia and Kazakhstan and Germany. "Still they will get my mercy, even if they flee. Because, now listen very careful, I will send Morsena Potibhokta, this is in Bengali, to go there and deliver them. Mor means my, Senapati means military field commander, and Bhakta means devotee. So, Mor Senapati Bhakta refers to a great devotee, a special great devotee, who will make a special endeavor and special, let me say, he will be specially successful in spreading Krishna consciousness like a military field commander against, you know, this is not a militaristic expression. The enemy is not any human being, but it's the age of Kali, this very demoniac and atmosphere in which we live. So, Srila Prabhupada has done this. He has gone to the Western world and spread Krishna consciousness there. His spiritual master always wanted this. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati made the Gaudiya Math, and then at the end of his years, he said, I want to spend 10 years preaching in the West. And once he said, I have read this in a magazine, which I need to get back, by the way, Lord Jagannath must be worshipped by Ratha Yatra in London. He said, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said this. So Prabhupada has actually done this. He has preached in the West for 10 years, and he has made a Ratha Yatra, a spiritual festival in London, where the Londoners who were previously, or the English people who were previously suppressing the Indian culture, remarked, oh, this card of Lord Jagannath is higher than the Nelson column. The Nelson column is an imperialistic sign of British power over the world. Nelson was an admiral who fought on the ship, the navy. And they said, well, the Ratha Yatra ceremony has now been more victorious than Nelson. And Prabhupada was so happy. He was quoting it all over the world. They have written this. Can you imagine? They who wanted to destroy the Vedic culture when they came to India have accepted their defeat before the Lord of the Universe. Prabhupada was very happy because he knew his spiritual master wanted Ratha Yatra in London, and he did it. So, now, after having said so much, I want to summarize to you a little bit. When we meet the personality of Srila Prabhupada, it's very important that we understand him correctly. He brings with him a very ancient tradition and the desire of the great souls who came before him. And he has fulfilled this desire by making us an organization which could spread Krishna consciousness onwards by translating books, and by what he personally considered most important, by the flower-like devotees. He said, flower-like devotees. He did not mean the Düsterlinge of the Kali Yuga, the dark faces of the Kali Yuga. He said to his devotees, they look like flowers, special people, and so on, who are... So, Prabhupada, often he wrote in letters to his managers, do not forget, the most important thing which we have are the devotees. Yesterday, several guests came, and some of you are still with us today, and they said to me, we came to this place, and just by meeting these many devotees, we feel so uplifted, and we feel so raised in our consciousness. It is so nice. This is the most important thing, really. The flower-like, the flowers, the zerbrechliche flowers sometimes. This is the most important thing of Prabhupada's endeavor. Now, I would like to go from this subject matter to my next subject matter. My next subject matter is to explain to you Srila Prabhupada's ongoing position of transcendental importance to all of us. See, before Prabhupada left, he wanted to train us in what we can call, you know, to give a new word, mystical communication. What do I mean with mystical communication? I mean a form of communication which is not easy for an ordinary person to understand. The first time when I had an example of mystical communication was my grandmother. My grandmother loved my father very much. He was the only son. And he was fighting with, it's an unpleasant chapter of the German history, but he was fighting with a, I don't know if he hears the tape, I shouldn't maybe be. He was a high-posted man in the Nazi regime. This is enough to say. He was fighting in Russia. He was one of the, his part of the army was one of the last demons who were fighting there against the poor Russians. And my grandmother did not think, no one thought he would return because all of the German army had died in the winter before Leningrad and then Stalingrad. You know, it had just killed everyone. Karma. Do not hurt others, then you will not be hurt yourself. So, one morning, my grandmother said, my son is coming back. And she started to cook. And everyone in the house said, Grandmother, you know you love your son, but he is dead. The reports which came by telegram said no one survived. And he said, I don't care for the cook. I know he's coming back, and he will come back at 12 o'clock. You will see. She was cooking. Yoo-hoo, he's coming back. Yoo-hoo. And everyone thought she is crazy. And then at 12 o'clock it made ring, ring. See, go out and get him. Tell him it's ready. And then my grandfather went out and he saw his son. And he cried. He almost fainted. Is it you? My father was very thin and said, yes, and I'm very hungry. So then he came in, and the grandmother, here all the preparation. There was a lot of crying and emotions, of course, but I think you can understand it was a very emotional meeting. Later, when I was not yet in Krishna consciousness, I was thinking about this a little bit deep. This is mystical communication. Srila Prabhupada, when he was, before he was leaving, was telling his disciples, when I'm gone, do not think that I'm dead. You must, you can find me. And he said, where we can find him. You can find me in my Vani. He mentioned especially his books. There I am for you. You can find me in my lectures. You can find me in my teachings. And I remember, Prabhupada said this a few times, and I remembered always my grandmother when I heard this, that she knew for many kilometers that my son is there and had a contact with him. And later this form of communication saved my spiritual life. If this would not have been there, I told you on my birthday about this. Srila Prabhupada wrote about this, that he can be contacted, and I will read to you this quotation a little later. I must go systematically. But I want to now draw your attention on something which Gadadhar has explained yesterday. I do not know exactly what he said, but I heard it was very good and very well received by Lord Chaitanya's plan which no one did before. He must be very special. He is called what is in Sanskrit Samsthapaka Acharya. Acharya means a great teacher who teaches by his example, and the word Samsthapaka means someone who found something, ein Begründer, zu Deutsch gesagt, a founder. Now, in the Prabandhamrita Tapan, this is a work by the Ramanuja Sampradaya, Samsthapaka Acharya is explained, and there are five symptoms of him, which I want you to listen now to, but you must listen with your mind, you must think a little, because I will not help you in this to apply it to Srila Prabhupada. Please do it yourself while I'm listing them and find out how this applies to Srila Prabhupada. I think you are all very, you are intelligent people. You should also think now a little bit. This is now the thinking part of my lecture. Please get ready. We can make a little fresh air so that some oxygen hits your brain cells, and so on. Only short, because we don't want to become ice suckers. First is, he is Udarika, which means that he is the savior of everyone, a founder, acharya, someone who brings. And it is explained that those who follow him and his are called Udarikas. Udarikas, is this correct? Upakarikas, I'm very sorry. His helpers. In other words, here is a great spiritual master who takes it upon himself to save people from the ocean of birth and death. And even if he leaves the planet, he continues to do so by his helpers. First point. Second point. He is Dinabhaya. Dina means very fallen. And Abhaya means he who removes the fear of very fallen people. In other words, a founder acharya can move away fear, because he has a special link, and therefore the special shakti. Prabhupada's name is very interesting. It's also Abhaya, he who is fearless. Material existence is a fearful state of existence. We have to die, Yamananda, soon or later. It's not an easy situation. Bhagavatam says we are condemned to death, and we have a few more hours before the hanging comes. By its transcendental teaching, a founder acharya removes the fear. Those of you who want to experience this, next time you go to the dentist and you have problems with the dentist, read a little in the Bhagavad Gita. You will see it works before you are for the drilling. The third thing is, such a person gives purpose to the scriptures, carrying the Vaishnava Siddhanta, such as the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and makes them available to the world in Mahagranthas, or great books. In other words, the founder acharya writes books with his own personal note in it. Srila Prabhupada has a very distinctive language and a distinctive, let me say, presentation, which carry his personality very much. His purpose have this certain bend. Like, I personally like to read a lot to broaden my horizon, and often I find in the book something which is quoted here and there, and sometimes it is not clear who is speaking. But when you find Prabhupada's books, it is so special, you immediately know, yes. Emphasis on the holy name, great care that there is serious spirituality, and not some, let me say, wishy-washy thing. And great practicality. He says the car is a body, the body is like a car, an automobile, and an airplane. You know, it gets very graphic. Oh yes, we know these things, you know. Prabhupada has a very special mood when you read it and compare it, which a Samstapa, a founder acharya, always has. Then fourth is similar. He gives purpose to the songs of the Vaishnava acharyas. And fifth is his name becomes identified with the philosophy of Lord Vishnu himself. Yes, I do. I must say this takes a longer time to explain it. So Srila Prabhupada, this is what I wanted to say, has this certain symptom of a founder acharya, and he is, how do you say, he is preaching Krishna consciousness in a special way. And now comes my point. He is not dead and gone. Remember my point about the Vani, the mystical communication. Because I feel it's so important, and I need to shake your intelligence a little up. I will go now into Christianity, which I didn't intend at this stage. You know that Pontius Pilatus episode? Pontius Pilatus was the representative of the imperialistic government of the Romans. And he was informed that Jesus would start a revolutionary movement. He would become the king of the Jews, and he was fearing that they would that Jesus would throw out Pontius Pilatus and the whole Roman government. Yes, he was when they captured Jesus and brought him before Pontius Pilatus, Jesus said, "Don't worry, my kingdom is not a worldly kingdom. I have nothing to do with it." Temporary political situation. My kingdom is the kingdom of God. But Pontius Pilatus did not really understand this answer, or maybe he understood. We never know. But he was pressured by other forces. Anyways, he said, "I will have to kill you. But there's one way out of you, for you. You just say that all what you have said is wrong." He was intelligent, more intelligent than the many, because he understood, if we kill him, he will become more powerful. His influence will be greater. People will become very interested in this. So he died for his teachings. Must be very convinced and convincing, very convinced. Ooh, so therefore, just say it's not true, then we just let you go, and you can do some shepherding, you know, and go on with your life, make a family, and so on. You will become more. I don't know if he said it. The way I heard it is from Indrajumna Maharaj, and I don't remember clearly. But he knew this vani, this powerful message, if it's true and if it's spiritual, will continue on. And I think the history of the Christianity is a proof for this. It is still going and expanding. Religious and moral and ethical teachings. So, with this, I want to just give you a little instructions how it is known in the world traditions that Vani is something very substantial. You can contact Srila Prabhupada, in other words, through Vani. Here, Prabhupada talked about this a little, in 1975. He said to his disciples that you can also contact my Guru Maharaj. So my Guru Maharaj will be very, very much pleased upon you and bless you with all benefits. So he wanted this, and he is not. It is not that he is dead and gone. That is not spiritual understanding. Even ordinary living being, he does not die. Nahanyate hanyamane sharire. And one to speak of such exalted, of authorized personality like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. It's not that he is dead and gone. He is seeing. I never feel that I am alone. Of course, when I came to your country without any friend, without any means, practically just like a vagabond, ein Landstreicher, I came. But I had full faith that my Guru Maharaj is with me. In other words, he encourages here Vani. He says, my spiritual master, he left the planet, but he's not dead and gone. And he's very much pleased if you hear from him. Today I want to tell all of you very, very clearly, you must, if you want to become advanced in your spiritual life, learn the art of mystical communication. I know I'm using a word which you have not heard before, because then it will make you think, oh, what was this again? Whoops, mystical. Let me tell it to you once again. You must learn the art of making the contact through Vani. That means the divine instructions which I handed through Srila Prabhupada down. If you do this, then you can find an additional open a new chapter in your life, which will connect you with something so powerful, something so pure, something so great that you will be saved. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada is the savior or deliverer, as has been said, the Udaraka. A guru. Now, this will be a new concept, so to say. I personally am in a little dilemma because I have much more to discuss, and I went a little slow. When you learn to contact Srila Prabhupada, you will learn to contact the whole sampradaya, because this is what Vani means. And I want to talk about this, but it's now 9:10, and I can feel that I have strained many of you more than, after a festival like this, it is heavy to sit down for so long. So let us now make a little pause and see what we should do. I will talk about what I consider was a great mistake in our society and what brought about the situation as it is, in a philosophical and very encouraging way. And I will try to give you instruments into your hands how you can learn this art of being connected with our glorious sampradaya. And I will also talk, obviously, about my role in all of this and our own transcendental relationship, which needs to be brought on a higher level in order to nourish you in the coming years with enthusiasm and transcendental happiness. So I'm feeling very happy that I will end here, because this is the best. Then it will be a very nice philosophical language. If devotees like to hear about this, who have the question, can we come at 12 o'clock? You can certainly come, because this is a general information which might help you also in your own spirituality. And so on. Now let us see what we shall do here. I really feel it is not necessary to ask questions now, because we will, let me see, Gaura Bhavani, ist das Prasadam fertig für die Devotees? Müsste sein, oder müsste sein? Ist fertig, gut. Gut. Sehr gut, das ist eine gute Information. Okay, so we will not take questions here. Reserve your questions, and I will give you a little summary when we start, so it will be easy for you to follow. Now comes, we will hear a little message of our Gaura Bhavani, the message for the morning.